If you have your Bibles and want to go to Luke chapter 2, we'll be reading from there in just a moment. Luke chapter 2 this morning. So, a store owner was doing some last-minute Christmas shopping with his son. And they were going through the stores, and eventually they run into another store owner whom they had been friends with for some time. The two men, they exchanged greetings, and they spoke with each other about what a financially profitable season this had been for their respective stores. And the small boy, he overhears his father say, "This has been the best Christmas ever." And the store owners, they part company, and the father and the son, they continue their shopping. But the father noticed that his son had become rather quiet. The father inquires of his son's silence, and the son replies, Dad, you told Mr. Johnson that this was the best Christmas ever." And his dad said, "Well, yeah, I did, son. The economy it's been so great, and the people are really spending money." "Okay," the son replied. "It's just, I always thought the first Christmas was the best Christmas ever." You know, it's the largest celebration of the year. Most holidays that we have, right, get one day. You know, they have one day on the calendar. Thanksgiving kind of has one day. You know, and most holidays have that. But Christmas is 1/12 of our year. It takes up so much time. And during this season, billions of people adjust their normal routines to decorate their homes, right, send greeting cards, buying gifts, going to Christmas office parties, attending church services, singing Christmas songs, watching Christmas shows on TV, Christmas specials, and traveling long distances to see family. I think already this year I've watched 4 Christmas specials, and we didn't start until after Thanksgiving, so it's been a busy weekend at our house for Christmas. But, you know, there are stores, right, whole stores and even careers that are dedicated to preparing for and celebrating this time of year. Really, when Christmas comes, you can't miss it. It's everywhere. But have you guys ever paused for just a moment to just stop and think and consider how astounding an impact this season has on our finances, on our relationships, personal agenda, and thousands of other areas of our lives? And if we stop and we really think about how did this start? It started with one peasant boy, one small peasant boy, thousands of years ago and thousands of miles away from here. And the event even causes traffic jams in some of the major cities in the world, Tokyo and New York City and Rio de Janeiro. I know most of us probably know this story pretty well. Maybe you've heard it hundreds of times. But I want to just take some time to just look at the amazing spectacle, just how astounding this story is and what occurred to some shepherds and how it changed their lives, those shepherds' lives, but also so many other people's lives through the years. So we're going to read in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. And Luke's writing here, and he says, "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, saying, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests.'" And peace to men on earth to those on whom his favor rests. "And the angel said, 'This is going to be great joy for everybody, for all the people. You know, I kind of wonder, really, is that really how all of us feel? Do we all get filled with just incredible joy at Christmas time? I know for me, I guess, when I look at my life, I think of all the things that need to get done this season. Right? Stop and think of all the presents that need to get bought. The cards that need to get sent out. The hassle of having to get my parents to only buy one or two presents for my kids. None of you guys buy more than presents than your kids need. But anyway, the awkwardness, right? There's some awkwardness when you get together with family of trying to remember my wife's aunts and uncles' names, much less which kid belongs to which family. My wife's mom, my mother-in-law, has 14 siblings. So I'm still learning after 11 years of marriage who is who and who belongs to who. And anyway, none of you guys have that problem, I'm sure. So, you know, I think I just complained a lot. And don't get me wrong, you know, I love Christmas. But there's just so much going on in this season. On Facebook this week, I saw a post. A few people had posted it. It expressed basically how hard this time of year can be on a lot of people. This Facebook post asked you to copy and paste it to show solidarity and support to those who may be struggling this time of year for a variety of reasons. Maybe there's someone that's not able to celebrate it here with us. There's pain and there's loss. Maybe there's just not enough money to get all the presents that we think we need or that we think other people need. Maybe there's an awkwardness with some people in our lives for whatever reason. There's pain and loss there because of relationships. And there's different things going on, and so this time of year can be hard. Maybe this has just been an exhausting year, and we're just going to try to just survive Christmas. Other people look like they're excited, and they're happy, and they're joyous, and it makes us a little more uncomfortable. And so despite all of that, despite all of the background, the different backgrounds, our personal problems, the circumstances around us, Christmas really is the best news we can get. And that's not to say that we shouldn't feel upset or be sad or anything. I think those are good emotions to have. But when we look at the purpose of Christmas, it should be the best news. It is the best news we can get. And like I said, it may not feel like it. Certainly doesn't always seem like it, but beneath the visible sights, some of the things that are going on, the sounds of the season, there are just some simple, profound things, profound truths that should be able to transform our lives for the better here on earth, but also for eternity. And so that's what we're going to be looking at the next few weeks. Kind of, I like series, like I said, so we'll be looking in for the next 3 weeks up through Christmas, is this idea of the purpose of Christmas. What is the purpose of Christmas? Have you ever stopped to kind of wonder that? I think sometimes we just kind of float through this time of year. Just kind of go through, just survive, get all the busyness done, and maybe take a breath as New Year's comes around. And then we just, again, kind of keep going and keep moving. But if we stop to consider, what is this Christmas season about? What is Christmas? What kind of meaning can it have in my life? And I think even for those of us who have followed Christ, I would say that we're followers of Christ, that we have that relationship with him. Even if we've done that for years, I think we don't take enough time between the shopping trips and the Christmas gatherings, the family meals, to spend time with that baby who we are supposed to be celebrating. You know, I thought about my kids. And I know as they get older, it changes probably a little bit. But, you know, when we think about birthdays, most of the time when our kids have a birthday, we want to spend it with them. We want to at least talk to them on that day or, you know, send them a message of some sort. But sometimes during Jesus' birthday, we don't stop long enough to do that. And so this next few weeks, we're going to look at three different aspects of Christmas. What Christmas is. And so this morning, we're going to do kind of a teaser, kind of a sneak peek at those three areas. And then at the end, we're going to close with some gifts. the gifts that we like to receive this time of year. And so the first thing is that Christmas is a time for celebration. Luke 2:10, the angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." You know, if we looked around the world, we looked at everybody that's celebrating Christmas, there's probably, if there's, 8 billion people in the world now, and we'll just say 4 billion celebrate Christmas, that's probably way too high, but, if there's 4 billion people that celebrate Christmas, there's probably 4 billion different reasons that people are celebrating Christmas. Maybe not quite that many, but there's a lot of reasons. Maybe it's we're celebrating because we survived the year. Maybe people are celebrating because they got this Christmas bonus. Right, we're excited, we got this money, I can buy that new boat. I don't know, probably not a boat, but something that's fun for you guys, I guess. We get excited about the gifts that we get from other people. I still love getting gifts. It's hard to tell my kids not to be so greedy about getting gifts when I'm kind of greedy about getting gifts. But, maybe we're celebrating that. Maybe we're celebrating because we just feel like that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to celebrate, so we're just going to do it. There might be emotion behind it. There might not be much emotion or excitement behind it, but we just kind of do it and just take care of it. And I don't want to sound real negative. I feel like I've been kind of a negative Nelly this morning, but, Christmas should be a time of celebration. I think a lot of times maybe this is just me, but I bet most of us could probably think of at least one thing we'll do this next month or so that we're going to do just because we're supposed to. Maybe an obligation that we feel like we have to fulfill. I bet if you thought of one, we could probably almost all think of one. I can think of probably a couple things that normally I would probably do out of obligation. And that's not bad. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, doing it out of obligation can pull those emotions away, can kind of stretch us emotionally too. I want to give you kind of an example here. So there's any number of relationships, right, that dictate what a gift is and who should get a gift. Right, we can think of some right away that, yes, my kids and my parents and grandkids and, close, my BFF from high school or whoever, that's best friend forever if you don't know what BFF is. But, we buy gifts for certain people automatically. But there's culturally speaking where there's times where there's kind of a line. Do I buy a gift for that person or not? So just bear with me for a moment. Imagine you have a new acquaintance at work. And you've been spending some time with them, hanging out with them a little bit. You've gone over to your family has been to their house for a meal, for an evening meal, for supper sometime. And you're getting kind of close to this person, but does that person get a present? Does that person get a present? And what happens if I buy a gift for them, but they don't buy one for me? Or what if I give them that present and then they don't have one for me, and that makes a really awkward situation and we both kind of look at each other kind of funny and we don't talk for a couple days because we're just so awkward and it's kind of, I don't know. I think that stress alone of who to buy presents for can just drive a person, kind of crazy. And I'm a little neurotic, I realize, but for me, I'm a conflict avoider, so I would probably buy a present for a person that kind of on that fence, and I'd hide it just in case they brought me a present so I'd have something for them. I'm sure none of you would do something like that because I'm just neurotic like that, but there's just kind of that stress in life sometimes of what's the culturally right thing to do, what's the socially acceptable kind of thing to do, and we can add that stress, and with that stress and with the other things going on, it's no wonder we have a hard time celebrating. But Christmas is a time for celebration. But Christmas is also a time for salvation. For salvation. Luke 2:11 says, Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And all the glitz and the glamour of Christmas season, we kind of lose this idea of what is a Messiah. What does it mean to have the Messiah come into the world? How does that fit into our lives? How can this tiny baby in a manger affect or have any real meaning in my life? My grandma, I loved my grandma, but she was a little interesting, I guess. She was a great lady. She cared so much about her kids and her grandkids and others around her. I remember her asking me what's going on in my life all the time. So I appreciated that about her. But she, and so I don't want this to sound judgmental or anything like that, but she was odd. She was just kind of odd. And don't feel bad if you do this too, but she was just a little different. But I could probably come up with lots of different stories, and maybe I'll be able to share those eventually. But one in particular about Christmas, I remember going, this would have been several years ago. I was trying to think, and it's probably been almost 15 years. And then I got to thinking, wow, I feel really old. But 15 years ago, I remember going to her house for Christmas, and this was when she was doing well and at home and able to still kind of decorate at home and do those kind of things. And so I hop out of the car, and I like to decorate too. I like to, especially Christmas time, I like to put lights and different things up. And I hop out, and so I'm inspecting her lawn decoration. And so I see her nativity up on her deck. And I remember her deck pretty well. She even had that green, like, fake grass kind of stuff on her deck, whatever. Anyway, she's had it sitting up there. She had kind of the nativity scene up there. And so she had Mary, and she had Joseph, and she had baby Jesus. And there were some shepherds, and the angels were kind of behind. And then there were wise men. I think there were three of them, but there were four people sitting there. And so I looked, and I didn't have to look real close, but I had to just ponder in my mind, why is he there? And of course, it was Santa Claus. Santa Claus had infiltrated the nativity scene. And it wasn't just a Santa Claus, just a plain, you know, wooden Santa Claus or something. It was one that lit up, that people could see all night long, too. And so, like I said, there's nothing wrong, and I don't want to, you know, I don't hate Santa Claus by any means, but I think there needs to be a separation. Maybe at least put him, you know, maybe in the front yard rather than with the nativity scene, maybe, but a separation between Santa and what the manger means and what Christ has come to do for our lives. You know, I think that's a very concrete example of something that happens in a lot of people's minds this time of year, right? We may not immediately say, well, Santa's a part of the nativity, but I think in our minds we kind of just throw everything that's Christmas, that we think is Christmas-related, into the same basket when we know there's so much in our culture that needs to be separated out. Like I said, I'm not anti-Santa. I'm not, you know, I love Christmas movies about Santa Claus and different things like that, but there needs to be a distinction, I think, in our minds of what does Christ mean? What does it mean to have a Savior that comes into our world? And I think there's a growing mentality. It's been going on for years and years and years that Christmas is about the presents or about the reindeer or about different things and not about what it means to have a Savior. And so we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. But Christmas, and we'll kind of wrap up the series with the idea of that Christmas is a time for reconciliation. Luke 2:14. The angels are singing, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests. I think for me personally, I look at my life, and I think this is probably one of the last things I think of when I think of Christmas. And it should be a natural connection. It should just kind of flow right from salvation to reconciliation, because they're so related. But I think this is one of the last things I think of when I think of Christmas. Christ came not just to save us, but what did he save us for? He saved us to be reconciled to him. I think there's times in our families, and I don't know, I think there's probably even been times in my extended family where we kind of get together, or when we get together, there's a person missing, or there's something else going on. And it's not because of work or because of other circumstances. It's because they are avoiding a situation or they're avoiding a person. There's conflict there. There's tension there. And so people don't come and join the family group. They don't participate in the things going on. And so we don't solve those family conflicts. But there's also conflicts, I think, outside of our families that we don't address, that we don't talk about. And Christmas is the time. Christmas is the time that we should be able to reconcile, not just with God through our salvation, but reconcile between one another. And so Christmas should be a time of reconciliation, and like I said, in a few weeks we'll talk more about that and look at all the different relationships that we have. But lastly, I'd like to close with this idea of gifts. And just because I found this information, I thought it was interesting, I thought I'd share it. Did you know that an American Express survey about Christmas gifts, they did this survey about Christmas gifts, they found that fruitcake was among the most, or chosen as the most, which is 31%, was the most often chosen as the worst holiday gift. Worst holiday gift. But I think this is great. It finished below no gift at all. So it is better, not that, better to get no gift at all than to get fruitcake, according to this survey. I'm not going to say that's my personal preference, but that is what this survey said. Now, when they chose, when they were asked how they disposed of gifts that they didn't want, 30% said they'd hide presents in their closet, 21% they said they would return it to the store, and about 19% said they'd re-gift it or give it away. And so if you do the math and put it all together, well, if you're going to have your worst gift is fruitcake, and the best place to get rid of it is in your closet, I wonder if there's a lot of people with nasty molding fruitcakes. Well, does fruitcake mold? Maybe it doesn't even mold. I don't know. But in their closet. But I just thought that was interesting, so I thought I'd share that. But anyway, I like, and I think you're like me probably, I like to get gifts. I'd even take a fruitcake. I wouldn't throw that away probably. Well, I probably shouldn't eat it, but I'd take probably fruitcake. But I think there's several factors when we look at a gift. Right, several things that we think of when we want to pick out a gift for someone. And one of those things, especially in our culture, I would say, is that we want to get an expensive gift. Right, something that costs a lot of money. But you know, when I think of the greatest gift, when I think of the greatest gift that you can ever receive, it's priceless. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, he says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. You can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. That greatest gift of Jesus coming as a baby is priceless. Really, that gift of salvation is paid for with Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We didn't earn it. We can't do enough to gain it. It really actually has no monetary value. You can't go and sell it. But at the same time, it's priceless. It's priceless. And so we want an expensive gift, right, when we buy gifts. But we also want a gift that's going to be used, right? That's probably a big determining factor. Are my kids going to use this gift? And you know what? When we looked at the greatest gift, it's an extremely practical gift, one that we can use every day of our life. Right? Matthew 28, 20, some of Jesus' last words in Matthew 28. And he says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus is literally saying, "I am with you all of the days, every single day." This gift we can use every day of our lives. It can offer us guidance when we need some direction. It can offer us hope when we struggle. It can motivate us to do what is right. It can encourage us when we're down, provide us comfort when we're lonely. It gives strength when we're weak. It's alive and it's active. And it can bless us in countless other ways. And can bring us joy. There's no other gift that's that practical. And lastly, not only do we want an expensive and a practical gift, we want a gift that's gonna last. They're gonna be able to use it over and over again. And this gift, the greatest gift, lasts forever. I think this verse fits perfectly. It says in 1 John 2:17. John writes, "And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." It's This world, it's fading away. All the things that you're going to buy for people this Christmas, all the things I'm going to buy for people this Christmas, they're going to eventually fade away. They're going to fall apart. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to wear out, lose their value. But this journey of accepting Christ as our Savior, it starts now, right? Even our whole lives, you know, even if we live to 90, 100, you know, even if we somehow could live to 200, it's only a drop in the bucket for how much we get to enjoy Christ after this life. It's a decision now, it's a choice now that's going to last forever. And really, unlike most gifts, this gift will only get better with time. And the more we seek Him, it's only going to get better. And the more we use it, rather than wearing it out and breaking it, the more we use it, the more we'll enjoy it. Never in this life will we experience the full spectrum. Even if we could live 1,000 lives, we'd never experience the full spectrum of understanding the joy that this gift can offer. And so this morning, before we get on into the series, we need to start with accepting that gift. Taking this gift, Jesus can hold it out to us for eternity. He'll keep on offering it to us, but it only becomes ours when we accept it. When you buy a gift for someone you love, it's really belongs to you until they actually accept it and receive it. Until it's in our possession, it doesn't belong to us, and then obviously it can't benefit us. But once we accept it, we can begin to have the blessings, the joys that come along with this amazing offer that Jesus offers. Paul Harvey is the famous radio personality. Tells this story about a family on Christmas Eve. The family had this tradition where the mother and the children, they'd go to the Christmas Eve service at the church, and the father, he'd stay home and he'd read the paper. When the family returned home, then they'd all gather together, they'd open presents. And the father, he wasn't a bad man or an evil man by any means, but he just couldn't stick or stay with those kind of, he called, childhood stories of God coming as a baby in a manger. And so the family, they leave for church, and he opens up his paper and sits down to begin reading by the fire. And then suddenly he hears this tapping on the window. And he glances up and he sees that there's this little bird tapping into the window, trying to get out of the snow and into the warmth of the house. And the man, he feels compassion for the bird, and he goes outside hoping to bring it in. And so he approaches the bird slowly, and as he approaches, the bird just flies harder and harder into the window. Pretty soon, as he draws closer, the bird flies down into the bushes below the window. Half frozen, yet the bird's too afraid. He doesn't want to get caught by this man. The more the man tries to reach for the bird, the more the bird flies frantically into the snow and thorns of the bush. After a few minutes in the cold, and seeing the bird continue to injure itself, the man yells out in frustration, "You stupid bird! Can't you understand that I'm trying to help?" The man paused and thought, if only you could understand, you wouldn't fly away. If only I could become a bird and get you to understand. And just then the church bells rang, just as they always did at that hour. But when the man heard the bells this time, he fell on his knees and began to cry, saying, "Oh God, I didn't understand. I didn't understand." And so this Christmas season, we understand that God's Son, He came in human form, so that we could understand where we have come, for what reason we were separated from Him, and how we could be restored to Him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, just thank you so much for your Son, for the baby in that manger, the helpless tiny child. That was you. We're just so thankful for all that you've provided for all that you've done, for sending him, and we just pray that this time of year we can stop and we can say, thank you. And maybe even help us to understand more. We pray that you guide and direct us by your Spirit, your Son Jesus' name. Amen.